there. My name is Rebecca Ashkenazi, a therapeutic area lead within our internal medicine field medical organization. Welcome to our recorded series entitled Conversations with Field Medical Affairs. Pfizer's field medical colleagues interact with healthcare providers across the U.S. every day in a two-way exchange of information and ideas on science and our medicines. This recording is intended as a taste of those interactions, and we hope listeners find it interesting and even inspiring. I am honored to welcome Dr. Sami Saab, Medical Director of the UCLA Flegar Liver Institute, who will be interviewed by one of my Pfizer field medical colleagues, Dr. Patty McNamee. They will focus specifically on non-alcoholic steatohepatitis, otherwise known as NASH.
Dr. Ashkenazi, thanks for that introduction to the session. Certainly, we have a lot to cover today with Dr. Saab. Dr. Saab, it's a pleasure to speak with you. We've actually known each other for many years, so it's interesting to speak to you professionally on these topics today. But first, let me take a step back. We often find physicians' early history and background significantly shapes kind of how they approach their patients. That being said, let me ask you, what first motivated you to enter healthcare and to treat patients?
Patty, thank you, first of all, for the interview. What motivated me to get into healthcare is a chance to help others. I'm a big believer in karma, and I feel that what goes around comes around. And I figure that it's going to be one day that either me or you be sitting on the other side of the table as a patient. So I want to make sure that we take care of patients as best as possible and help them improve their quality of life and help them live as long as possible. So I have a strong desire to help improve the life of others.
We really appreciate that. And I know it's an area where you can really impact patients' quality of life and help them live longer. We were going to talk a little bit today about non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, or NAFLD, and its follow-on with NASH. When did you start managing patients with NAFLD and NASH, and can you tell me how this became a focus for you?
Sure. So fatty liver is a very nebulous area. You know, we tell people that the fatty liver falls into two buckets. One is simple steatosis, and the other is NASH. And the problem with this condition, which I think partially explains why I'm so interested in it clinically and research-wise, is there's so much uncertainty in terms of how to diagnose NASH, how to define its trajectory, its prognosis, how to identify therapies. So, you know, I think most physicians, most healthcare providers, they want to be detectives, they want to be able to diagnose something and be able to intervene. And fat liver and NASH is one of those areas that needs much more research, much more resources. So this idea of dealing with kind of a condition that has a limited amount of information to make it a difference.
Absolutely. And you've been a lead investigator in dozens of clinical trials. The science has always been evolving in hepatology, and they've made great advances in the last, you know, decade or so. With NASH and NAFLD, what challenges have you seen in conducting clinical trials, especially where there's an evolving diagnostic criteria?
Yeah, that's a great question, Patty. So NASH represents just a proportion of all the people who have fatty liver. It's been estimated that in the United States and across the globe, one out of four individuals are going to have some degree of fat, some degree of steatosis, but only a minority would have the bona fide NASH. And it's a NASH that's associated with cirrhosis, liver cancer, and liver failure. So as you brought up, you know, what are the diagnostic dilemmas we have? And there are many. You know, I've been involved in studies early on where we had to identify people with NASH, depending on the study, whether they had very mild NASH, stage one, stage two, moderate, or severe, stage four, which is cirrhosis. So the problem is that our non-invasive tools that encompass laboratory tests, both proprietary tests as well as non-commercial tests like APRI or FIB4, or imaging like transient elastography, are not that granular to pick up the different stages of fibrosis in people with NASH. So these tests are very good to identify people with mild fibrosis, mild NASH, or identify individuals who have very advanced NASH or cirrhosis. But the problem is that there's a big gray area that our tools are very limited in terms of the granularity, in terms of identifying people with stage 2 or 3 fibrosis. So the dilemma for all these clinical trials is, how do you get that this granularity in a non-invasive fashion? So one of the benefits of the clinical trials we've had so far in NASH is it really helped develop and help the accuracy of non-invasive tests, whether it be APRI or FIB4 or some commercial tests like ELF, Enhanced Liver Fibrosis Scores. So, you know, there's still a long way to go, but we're learning little by little about these diagnostic paradigms we're facing in real life in clinical practice, as well as part of a research clinical trials.
So, Dr. Saab, thanks for that answer. Yeah, it's a very nebulous disease, and the diagnosis is, as you said, tricky, right? Because of these patients who fall in the middle. And we definitely need to contribute to the science to get more specific diagnostic tests and help better pinpoint those patients that do have NASH and NASH that will go on to cirrhosis. So we did want to focus a little bit today on the minority population needs in clinical trials. And we know you do a lot of work in that area, and that population definitely faces unique healthcare challenges, and those challenges can extend to clinical trials. So within the Latin community, which does seem to have a higher prevalence of NAFLD compared to the non-Hispanic community, and that group is underrepresented in clinical trials, how do you tackle that recognized challenge?
So you bring up a good point. Not all ethnic and demographic groups are treated the same by fatty liver. And you're right, the Latino population are disproportionately affected. And there's maybe a number of reasons why that this happens. Could be due to diet, the microbiome, and genetics. In Los Angeles, very a unique opportunity where a large population in the city are of Spanish background. And me being of Spanish background, with my first language being Spanish and my cultural identity also being Latino as well, provides me an opportunity to work with many individuals of Latino background. And one of the things that I've learned is to have ties with patients. It's very helpful to have a language, a common language, and also to share similar or very like cultural habits, mannerisms, identity. So having this language and cultural identity with individuals allows me to better serve individuals of Latin background. I have also been very sensitive to building trust through honesty, empathy, and compassion, and realizing that this trust is not built or earned in one single visit, but it's a process that takes over time.
Mm-hmm. That trust is so important. So thank you for bringing up that topic and really addressing the cultural issues as well. So we've spoken about a number of topics and challenges that you face personally and professionally. And I'd just like to end our conversation on a lighter note and ask you, really, what keeps you inspired in your work and what keeps you going every day, especially with what's been going on recently?
I think what inspires me every day is the opportunity to help people through their journey, help people through the process, and help people through the education of their condition. I'm a big believer in trying to empower the patient so they understand the spectrum of liver disease and work with them to make them a better stewardess of their health through controlling their diabetes and their cholesterol, their blood pressure, and the obesity and their weight. It's important that patients understand that the risk and benefits of different therapies as well as their alternatives. So what keeps me going on a day-to-day basis is being able to work with people, having the feeling patients are happy. They drove either 30 minutes or 3 hours to see me here in the office and take something home with them that helps them be a better person, better patient, and better friend.
Absolutely. That empathic approach that you have and that sincere, you know, wanting to help the patient, I'm sure all comes through. So
thank you, Patty.
But thank you so much for your time today, and we will look forward to talking to you in the future. Dr. Ashkenazi, I will turn it over to you.
Dr. Saab and Dr. McNamee, thank you for your time today and for sharing your personal story. That was a great example of the type of conversations that Pfizer Field Medical has with healthcare providers every day, and really showcases the importance of listening to patients and providers across all communities and settings. Thank you both again, and thank you to listeners of this recording.
Dr. Saab was paid to participate in this recorded conversation.